Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, it's Dr. Karen and welcome to another segment of the Law of Attraction and Love radio show. Today's segment is called Relationship Problems, Ask Dr. Karen. So, if you have a relationship issue, you can go ahead and give me a call. Now, I have to warn you that my headset isn't working properly today, which means that there may be a delay in me hearing you if you're calling live. So the call-in number is 1-347-945-6313. So again, that's 1-347-945-6313. So I have a whole bunch of letters from people that I'd like to get started on so we can help as many people as possible. And so if you have a question about your current relationship or a question about how to be in a new relationship or how to attract your ideal mate or soulmate, then this is the show for you. So go ahead and get relaxed and let's go through some Ask Dr. Karen questions. So the first question I have is from Claire. And let me read you her letter. Claire says, Dear Dr. Karen, I met a man 10 months ago who I fell deeply in love with and vice versa. 4 months after we met, he spoke of marriage. Then 6 months later, due to financial problems with his business, he said there is no point in being with someone that he cannot support and has pulled back. He says that he can't support me and can't handle the pressure and expectations. When I questioned and tried to reason with him, he told me that I was unstable. He told me to leave him alone and that he does not love me. I find this very hard to believe and desperately want him back, as I believe that deep in his heart he does love me and has withdrawn due to financial problems. How can I attract him back into my life so that we can have a happy, fulfilling relationship like we once did? Claire. Well, Claire, I definitely feel for you in your situation, and also I can feel for your partner as well. In our society, and I'm generalizing here, of course, but in our society, there was still a trend that the men in a heterosexual relationship, that in order for men to feel masculine in that relationship, which is a necessary component of the energy dance between males and females. In order for them to feel masculine, they do have to feel like they have a solid financial footing. Now, I'm not saying that all men need this, because in the new age, we definitely do see women who earn more money than their partners. And it's not that that's a big deal. It's just that traditionally, and depending on where you live, where he's from, what his culture is, traditionally, men do feel a sense of masculinity when they're able to support their female partners. And even in this day and age where there's equality and, you know, women can earn as much as men for the most part, there is still an energetic trend that the men like to feel that they are in a financial position to support him. So you may not be able to convince him through logic that it's okay that, you know, he has financial difficulty and that you love him regardless of that. You may not be able to convince him of that, because you see, some of this other stuff that he's going through is ingrained in his culture, ingrained in how he grew up, ingrained in what he learned when he grew up, you know, what his parents taught him, what his father taught him, that sort of thing. So basically, the bottom line is he's feeling much less attractive and much less manly because of his financial problems, and to be honest, it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with your desirability, how wonderful a person you are, how loving you are, all that kind of stuff. It truly is his stuff to deal with. Now, it doesn't mean you can't support him, but you can't solve his problems for him. In other words, you can't rescue him, and I do hear a tone of that in your letter, that you want to kind of rescue him from his depression, and that's totally understandable. I probably would feel exactly the same way in your position. And what I can tell you, though, is that the best way to support him is to be compassionately understanding of where he's coming from. You may question it, you may not you know, truly feel the same way as he does, but see if you can understand and empathize with how he feels as a man from his whatever culture he's from, that's just, you know, a necessary component of him feeling good about himself, about him feeling good in relationship. So it is very true that he may be telling a mistruth when he says he doesn't love you. He may be trying to protect himself from further pain, and he may be trying to protect you from future pain. And I can see that he may be doing this out of the goodness of his heart. So part of you has already intuited that the real reason that he is separating from you is for financial reasons, not because, you know, he doesn't love you anymore. I can certainly understand from your point of view that it doesn't make sense that all of a sudden, you know, he withdrew and it happened to coincide with the financial problems. So I agree with you that you're probably correct that he's withdrawn due to the financial issues. So what I would suggest for you is that, you know, you keep, if he allows you to keep communication lines open, and I'm saying if because he may need the space, you know, so if he's clearly said, do not contact me, then you're going to have to respect that, even though it's so painful to do that. But if he is agreeable to keep communication lines open without any pressure, what I would suggest to you is just to communicate to him that you understand that he's under a lot of pressure. You know, you understand that he has other priorities and that you imagine that on some level he may not feel that he can be in relationship with you because of his financial stressors, because he feels he can't support you. And you could also reinforce that you love him regardless of what is going on, you know, in his other life, in his work life, and that you will be there, whether it be as a romantic partner or a friend, because you love him unconditionally. And that you also understand that whatever he's going through, you want to be there to support him emotionally. But, you know, see if you can stay unattached to him having to be your boyfriend and going out with you. Because he's not ready at this point. You know, he is so much dealing with the stuff with his finances. He feels so bad about himself. There is nothing you can do to lift him. That's not your job. You know, you are not his ego. You know, you can't make him feel good about himself. That is his job. He has to find that for himself. All you can do is keep reinforcing, you know, loving feelings and reinforcing that, you know, you love him regardless of what's going on, and that you hope that he can really believe you in that. You hope that your friendship and your connection is deep enough that he can believe you in that, and that you would like to support him emotionally in whatever he's going through. You want to be there for him. And you know what? He may or may not be able to receive that. If he's not able to receive that, if he's not even willing to let you contact him, the only thing you can do is contain, you know, what you really want to say and respect him for his wishes. And just what you can do is work on your own stuff. And you can send him loving feelings. In fact, I do this trick. It's not really a trick. It's a tool. And this is very powerful, although it seems on the outside that, you know, you don't really know how this works. But this is what you do. So say he doesn't allow you to contact him. Say he's in a space. He's not ready for that. He just you know, wants to wallow in his depression, you know. And lovingly, you have to allow him to do that. You know, if he's asked you not to contact him. So what you can do to support him is you can use a form of communication that's energetic. In other words, that doesn't require the phone or email or anything. So this is what you do. Now listen carefully. Every day, you write him a letter. It doesn't have to be a long letter. This is a letter you do not send. Okay, this is not an email. It's not, you know, bugging him on the phone. It's not Skyping him, it's not mailing it, the letter. No, this is an energetic communication system. So what you do is you write, you have a journal, okay? Every day you write him a letter and you tell him how much you miss him, how much you love him. You tell him how he makes you feel when you're together. You write down what you appreciate about him, and you write down what you appreciate about him, all the good qualities he has, and you write that you believe in him, and you write that you know he can get through this, and it's okay, and you know you write that you respect him and his decision, and that you are going to be there for him emotionally if he so wishes you to be there for support. And the cool thing is when you write all those things out of the depth of your heart, I mean, you might even get tearful as you write this, and that's a good thing because you're really writing it with emotion. And guess what? That emotion is a form of energy. That energy has a frequency, and that frequency can travel around the globe without any regard for distance. So guess what? If he's tuned into that frequency because he still loves you, he will pick that frequency up. It's sort of like a radio picking up radio waves. You know what I mean? If he's tuned into that particular radio frequency, he will pick up that unconditional love coming from you. And I mean, it really does have to be unconditional. So you have to let go of any attachment for him doing anything or being anything other than who he is in the moment right now. If he can tune into that energy, it's going to be a very attractive energy to him. This is what we call the law of attraction. You know, this is the frequencies attracting each other. He'll pick up on that frequency, and guess what? He will receive that letter energetically in his field, in his body, in his soul, every day. And you will help him get through whatever he's going through because of that love that you are sending. I can't tell you how powerful this technique is. In fact, I'll give you an example. I had a patient who you know, lived here in my hometown, and he had a son who lived, I don't know, I'll just say the Arizona, far away, basically. He had a son who lived far, far away. His son was going through a very difficult time, was suicidal and depressed. My patient came to my office. He was also almost suicidal because he was so depressed about how depressed his son was. And when I asked him about that, he said that he was very down because he felt he couldn't do anything for his son. His son was so far away. My patient was not in the physical condition because of his illness to be able to travel that distance. And not only that, financially he was also strapped, so he couldn't help his son that way too much either. So I said to him, you know what? There is a way you can help your son, but it's not through getting depressed as well. So if you really want to help them, I'll show you a way to do that. Are you willing to do something about it? So you have a choice. You can either stay where you are and feel bad that you can't do anything, or I'm going to teach you something that you can do. You have to trust me on this. And he said, okay, well, I'll do whatever you say, you know? So anyway, so I told him, I said, every day I want you to write, you know, a paragraph about your son in the first person. So it's like you're going to ask him a question, or, you know, and share with him, you know, how are you? You know, I love you. I love you unconditionally. You're wonderful, and this is why I think you're wonderful. These are the talents you have. Remember that. You know, so every day he wrote this letter to his son, and I said, you do this for at least 30 days. And watch what happens. And magically, even though this patient did not travel to see his son, he did not give him any money, he was in no place. First of all, my patient felt better about doing something. He was doing something. He was in action. So his vibration was elevated. I said, the only way you can elevate your son's vibration is for you to be higher too. So he elevated his vibration. Then, you know, well within the 30 days, you know, I asked him how his son was doing. He said, he's doing a lot better. A lot better. He's no longer suicidal. And so this is the magic of these energetic letters. That's what I call them. Be empathetic, you know, and even if you are contacting him, whether it be face-to-face or phone, you can still do this exercise every day and just watch what happens. Just trust. And I wish you the very best blessings to you, Claire. I know it's a very difficult situation, but I think you can do it. I think you can really support him and give him unconditional love that he truly needs and desires. Okay, so let me go to the next person here. Now I'm gonna try. We're gonna try a live call, and like I said, my mic is going a little funky, so it may take me a while to hear what you're saying. So just bear with me here. So I have a caller. Last four digits of your phone number is 2720. 2720. Did you have a question to ask me?
No, I'm just listening in.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Let me mute your line again. Okay, well, thank you so much for being on the show. Let's go to the next question. Okay, this is another great one. This is from Loli. So Loli says, "Hi, Dr. Karen. I'm in a very difficult situation. I'm living with what I thought was the love of my life, except that he's lost all sexual attraction to me. He refuses to go to couples counseling, and he says he loves me, but he just doesn't feel attracted to me. I'm very pretty and successful and have guy friends who are interested, but I'm in love with my boyfriend. It's literally killing me to leave him. Please. He tells me he doesn't want me to leave him. Please help. Sincerely, Loli." Well, Loli, this is definitely a tricky situation, and I don't blame you being kind of frustrated with it. It sounds like your boyfriend doesn't want you to leave him. So, in other words, he's not using this as a way to subtly try to kick you out. So we've established that, at least from what you say, that he doesn't want you to leave him. Now, I'm wondering whether he actually feels attracted to other women. So that's something you may want to explore in asking him, even though it might be a scary question on your behalf, I mean, to ask him that, because you may feel very vulnerable in asking him that, that you may feel hurt if he is attracted to other women and not attracted to you. But I'm wondering if he's not attracted to you and he says, and you believe him, that he's not attracted to other women. And I want you to ask this, you know, to him in a very, you know, calm, vulnerable way so he doesn't feel defensive. Okay, so he's not making up, "Oh, no, 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 I don't feel attracted to other women." But so if you truly believe he's not attracted to you or other women, there really is something emotional, you know, going on with him, and possibly even something physical, like hormonal. So if he's not sexually attracted to anyone, he may have really low levels of hormone. It may have nothing to do with you. Now, it's hard for me to say because I don't know either of you, and we would probably have to explore this a little bit deeper with him in the room in order to ask him these questions, but I'm just giving you different possibilities that are out there. So there's a possibility. The possibility one is that he has some, you know, emotional issue or blockage that neither of you are really aware of, but is there. Number two is that he not only has that, but possibly has a physical issue. So he may have some hormonal imbalance. He, may have been very, very fatigued through stressors in his life, and his hormones have dropped because of that fatigue. We call that adrenal fatigue. So both men and women will lose sexual interest. Basically, the body says, look, when you're in adrenal fatigue, the body says, look, I am in stress mode here. Okay, the last thing on my mind is sex. I need to survive. I just need to get through my day. And so what we see is people with this disorder, and this is a disorder that I specialize in my medical office. So people with this disorder have basically burned out their adrenals, and the rest of their hormonal system is also starting to burn out because the adrenals aren't there pumping out the hormones they're supposed to pump out to support the thyroid, to support the sexual organs, you know, that sort of thing. So that's a possibility. So you'll have to see, you know, whether he just is, you know, really, really tired and just not really motivated for other things in his life. And if you see that, it could very well be a physical problem, and you may be able to, you know, gently encourage him to seek some help. On the other hand, oftentimes, and I'm generalizing, okay, oftentimes men don't like to be told what to do because they need to feel in control of their life. And so even if it is for his best interests in your mind, he may not go for it. So he may not want to be told what to do, where to go, that sort of thing. Okay, so what are the other options? Well, one of the other options is that he has sexual attraction to other people, but not you. So this may require some exploration. Now, what I would suggest you do is there's a wonderful series of books by this author. Now, I want you to write this down. His name is David Deida. I believe it's spelled D-E-I-D-A. And he talks about sexual polarity. So what that means is that in order for two people in a romantic relationship to feel sexually attracted to each other, there needs to be opposite poles in energy. And commonly we talk about the masculine pole and the feminine pole. So we're talking like poles of a magnet, for example, positive, negative, you know, or the North Pole, South Pole, that sort of thing. Or in Chinese medicine, we call it yin and yang, or yin and yang, if you pronounce it that way. So we're talking about two opposing energetic poles, the masculine and the feminine. Now, you wrote earlier in your letter that you're pretty and you're successful and you have guy friends interested in you. Okay, so just from that one line, I'm guessing that because, in the word you wrote, successful, when a woman, okay, in a heterosexual relationship with a man, when a woman is very successful, especially in her career, that energy is more masculine than it is feminine. Okay, so success in terms of, you know, money, career, you know, that kind of thing, awards, schooling, that kind of thing, that's masculine energy. So in a heterosexual relationship between a man and a woman, there needs to be a feminine and there needs to be a masculine. So can you imagine what happens if you're masculine is strong. So if you're successful, your masculine gets closer to his energetic pole of masculinity. And the more, I'm not saying you shouldn't be successful. There are ways of flipping you back into your feminine, okay? So this is a common problem that we see in this century with men and women is because of the whole women's movement, equality, that kind of thing. What happens is they get together, they get married, everything's great, and then they start losing sexual interest in each other. And the reason is because they're too equal, okay? I'm not saying you should treat each other like the old-fashioned way. David Deida describes that as the phase one, man and woman. So that's like your if you ever watched the American show, The Honeymooners, that's typically your phase one type of person. You know, he brings home the bread, she bosses him around, you know, and, she's the one that's the woman, she does the woman stuff, he does the man stuff, you know, he brings home the bread kind of thing. So that's phase one. We're talking about right now, we're going through phase two of relationship where men and women are starting to become very equal. So women have a career, women have, you know, higher paying jobs than men sometimes. And what happens is that polarity, that magnetism between the positive and negative poles, between feminine and masculine, become much closer. And you lose sexual interest. Then you lose the charge. Okay? Think of a battery. You lose the charge when the positive and negative poles start to equalize. So if you feel this is a possibility, okay, then what you need to do is actually, first of all, I get David's books and start reading them. But what you need to do is start flipping into your feminine pole when you are with your partner. So, for example, one of the ways you can do that is Arthur Ariel Fuller, who I had interviewed a few weeks back. She's the author of the book The Soulmate Secret. She talked about, you know, she's very, very successful in business. And we're talking a multimillionaire. Okay, very, very successful. So obviously very masculine in the business world. But the minute she gets home, she takes a long, luxurious bath. You know, and soaks in that water and just, you know, frees the masculine energy out of her system and starts getting into her feminine. Then she changes into feminine clothes. And even though you think that clothing doesn't matter, it does. So if you're in a business suit, you know, and you get home or you're in sweats you know? That's not really feminine. So let's see if you can experiment with how you get into your feminine. Maybe it's taking a long bath. Maybe it's, you know, having makeup on or earrings or having a skirt or, you know, showing some skin. I mean, I'm not being sexist. I mean, literally what we're trying to do is create that polarity. The other thing you can do is let your man do things for you. And what I've done is, because James and I, my ideal partner and I, have been going through a similar phase because I'm very successful in business. And so that can be very masculine. And when he's around that energy, it's not that attractive. It's not attractive at all to him. So I have to create a way where I can be in the feminine energy when I'm around him and I'm not doing business. And so I have to switch myself. And what I'll do is I'll ask him for things that he can do for me where I can feel nurtured and cuddled and, you know, feminine and that sort of thing. So I'm talking about really, really, you know, little things that you can do. For example, you know, we had snow on our roof, and he said, oh, I'll go and clean up, you know, the snow off the roof. Well, believe me, I wasn't going to go do it. So I was really happy that he went and did it. But the thing was, you know, he went and did it, and he felt really good about it. He felt really manly about it. And I was like, wow, that is so great. Thank you so much, honey. That is so sweet, because I'm never going to do that. Thank you so much for doing this. You're my hero, you know. And even though if you are an amazingly successful woman and you could have climbed on that roof and did it yourself, don't. Let your man do some stuff for you. And it doesn't have to be manly stuff either. For example, James loves to cook dinner, you know, and I love to eat it. And so I'm just in a receiving mode, you know. So the feminine is receptive. The feminine is receiving, and the masculine is giving. Now, we ought to have this all messed up in North America, where the women do a lot of giving. And a lot of women will put up their hand and go, yep, yep, I do that. So we need to reverse some of that energy. So the woman can ask and the man can receive. And there's a certain way of asking. And anyway, this is like a whole, you know, day-long teleseminar topic if we really got into it. And hopefully in the future I'll be able to have a guest. I have somebody in mind that will teach us some of these wonderful techniques. But anyway, so I think that that's a good starting place for you to check out the polarity issue and see if that is true or not. Whether or not you've lost the polarity in your relationship. And then if you have, then see how, if your man tends to be a little bit on the feminine side, and I'm not saying that as a negative thing, because a lot of our new age men are, you know, they grow their hair long, they're into spirituality, you know, they're more like, you know, not hippies, but, you know, like, they're into yoga, and they're into personal growth, and taking care of the kids, and that kind of thing, then to have the sexual polarity there, you need to become even more feminine than that. Just to keep the charge between masculine and feminine poles. So anyway, that's all I'm going to say about that. But I think it's a very important area for you to explore, because the issue has been the sexual attraction between the two of you. You're not saying you don't love each other. That's a completely different issue. But this is a sexual attraction issue. So please, please, please do look up some of David Data's work and see if that resonates with you. See if any of that makes sense. I certainly found it incredibly, incredibly helpful. Okay, so good luck with that. Blessings to you, Loli. Okay, let's see what else we have. Okay, we have a letter from Suman. So Suman says, I love a boy in my college. I feel that he also likes me, but he's never told me. It's been more than a year that I've loved him. He has been told about my feelings through my friends in a very decent way. Even once a situation happened that I had to tell him that I liked him. He told me that we should exchange our numbers. So we did that. We started contacting each other every weekend. He's had a previous relationship which he told me about, and he was very badly ditched. He says that he does not want to go into any relationship. He called me. He is concerned about my studies, but our talk is restricted just as friends. I, on the other hand, want to marry him. I need him in my life. He is a very, very good guy. He has asked me many questions, which my close friend tells me he wants to marry me. Okay, I'm going to read that again. He's asked me a lot of questions, which my close friends tell he wants to marry me. But until he does say anything, how can I know? Now our college life is finished. He's placed in a job which is 4 to 5 hours from where I live. I think that he also likes me, but I do not know. Please guide me the right way to get the love of my life. Okay. Well, Suman, yeah, I'm actually going to do a teleseminar on, you know, it's going to be titled something like, I found the love of my life, he or she just doesn't know it yet. I think that's going to be my month's teleseminar next week on Thursday. But it sounds like it's the kind of situation that you're going through, and many, many people are going through something similar. The key here is that you've written that he was badly ditched. Now, it's very interesting that he has revealed to you that part of his previous relationship. So that's a good thing that he's been able to be upfront about that, that he's been willing to share with you that he's been in a previous relationship and that he was really hurt. So my sense is that you're probably thinking, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're probably thinking that because he's, you know, had this issue with someone else, that he is afraid to be in a romantic relationship with you. Now, just because your friends are guessing that he wants to marry you because of the questions he's asked, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's true for him right now. So if he said to you that he doesn't want to be in a romantic relationship with you, or actually, let me correct myself, that he doesn't want to be in any relationship, then you need to respect that. I know you love him, and part of loving someone is really unconditionally loving them regardless of where they're at, not where you think they should be, okay? So true love is accepting the person for who they are and where they're at right now, not where you think they should be. So it is very true in your mind that he is the ideal partner for you. At this moment, though, he's not, because your ideal partner is one who wants to be in a romantic relationship with you. So I know this is kind of painful to hear this, but you ask the question, someone answering it. So he's a very good person. I understand that. You really love him and who he is. I really understand that as well. Your best thing to do is to stay in contact with him, but also not be attached to having to have him as your true love. Because you know what happens is that when you're attached to it having to be him, he's the only one out there for me. The universe can't bring me anybody else. It has to be him, okay? You feel how that energy is? It's desperate. It's a desperate kind of energy. And that desperation energy is not very attractive. And that desperation energy feels like pressure to him. Okay, now, it's not that you said any of this, but basically, they can feel it on some energetic level that there's desperation coming from your end. And then they feel pressured, and then they push away. They resist. So the less pressure you send out, the less neediness, the less, you know, attachment that you have to him being the only person you can be with, the less resistance he will feel and the more willing he will be to step in or step closer, okay? Now, this is not easy to do. This is very difficult to do. And it's nothing that he has to do on his part. It's all work that you do. So, how to get unattached? Well, this is not an easy task necessarily to get unattached because you love him. But there's a difference. You can feel it in your body between having him as the only one as a possibility in the whole wide world, or being open that for whatever time right now, he's not the one for you. Can you feel open that maybe there is somebody else for you. And it's not to say that he's not a possibility at some point in the future, but right now he's not. So can you be open to the universe bringing you other people in your life? And the nice thing about having a relationship you do with him is that you know all the things you like already. You know all the things you're attracted to. So why not ask the universe, put it on the list. I call it my laundry list. And you can check what I mean by all that in my book, Creating Your Fairy Tale Love Life. So you can get it at my website, www.lawofattractionandlove.com. So in Creating Your Fairy Tale Love Life, we teach people to write down their laundry list of everything they want in their partner, including that they must be available, okay? They must be available and wanting to be in relationship. Those are two very, very, very important things. You can have Mr. Perfect, okay, except that they're not ready for relationship, and therefore they're not Mr. Perfect. So this is what you can do. You can use this relationship to create your laundry list and put down the stipulation that you want someone who's ready for a relationship. So if you can imagine, if the universe brings you a clone of this person, okay, that looks very similar, has similar characteristics, has similar, personality traits, treats you well, and that person is available and open for a relationship with you, would you go out with them? Think about that. So you have this choice. You got, you know, the guy that you want right now, and then you got a guy that's almost a carbon copy of that that the universe brings to you, but that other person's ready to be in a relationship with you. Which are you going to choose? I hope you choose the second one, the one the universe brings you. So don't close yourself off to possibilities. If you block the universe from helping you, you will get stuck. So the best way to approach this is use what you already like in this relationship, write it all down, ask the universe to bring you either that person when he's ready or someone even better. Okay? So see if you can be open to that. I know you might be in resistance because you really, really are attached. It has to be this guy. But all I can tell you is that resistance works against you. The more you feel it has to be him, the more you're going to feel resistance and the more he's going to push away. That's just how it works. And I'm sorry, that's the way it is. But that's the way it is. Now, what do you do when you're in communication with him? Well, you can still create a deeper relationship with him without necessarily being romantic. Okay? So you can get more connected to him. So why not, you know, in your conversations to say, hey, you know what, you know how you told me about that relationship you had and how you were ditched? It sounds like you were really hurt. Can you tell me more about that? You know, ask him some questions about that. Ask him how he felt. Ask him what happened. Ask him, you know, does that make you scared maybe about being in a relationship right now, in any relationship? You know, ask him, you know, wow, you know, it sounds like you were really hurt, so do you think that you would be afraid, even if your ideal partner showed up tomorrow, do you think you'd be afraid of being in a relationship with that person because of your experience? Would that prevent you from being with your soulmate because you're so scared? And so what you're doing is you're asking him questions and you're getting, you know, into his mind, sort of understanding, trying to understand where he's coming from. And what will happen is he'll feel like you're listening. You know, he'll feel that you really care about what's going on inside. Now, you have to be very clear that you're not trying to manipulate him, okay, into, you know, dating you. So what you're doing is just asking him questions, you know, seeing where he's coming from, seeing if you can understand where he's coming from. And if you're brave enough, you know, in your talking to him, you can save a heck of a lot of time by just saying, you know what, I really feel connected to you, and I'd really like a romantic relationship. You know, how do you feel about that? And he may say, not ready, don't want to go there, you know. And then you can say, you know what, I totally understand, and it's not comfortable, I don't like it, but I can understand where you're coming from, and I'm going to respect that. So, and that, you know, if he says it that clearly that he doesn't want to be in a relationship with you, and he's clearly gotten the message that you want to be in a relationship with him, okay, so you're not just pretending around him, then you need to move on. So you have a choice. For me, at my age, at 42, I don't want to waste time. You know, for me to try to guess, does he love me? Doesn't he love me? You know, should I tell him? Shouldn't I tell him? Maybe I need to have him tell me he loves me first. You know, all that kind of game playing, that's for like when I was in my 20s. But now it's like time is too precious to waste, you know? So for me, like, and a lot of people wouldn't agree, but for me, it'd be like, you know what? Just get down to it and just get it out there. You know, just say, look, I want to be in a romantic relationship with you. How do you feel about that? If he says, I'm sort of interested, but I'm scared, okay, you made progress, you know? But if he says, you know, I'm totally not interested in that, I'm not ready for that, then you say, okay, I respect that, you know? And you move on. You can stay friends, but you start looking for somebody else, even if it's painful to do that. And that way, you are telling the universe, look, I want what I want, and I deserve what I want. And I'm not willing to settle for something less. Because right now you're settling, but there's also not a lot of clarity either. You know, because of your young age, I can totally understand, you know, you're doing this friend thing. So the friends are asking him or asking you, and you're doing this in-between thing. You know what? Just go directly to the source and ask him. I know it's scary, but you're going to save a heck of a lot of time and a heck of a lot of heartache in the long run if you just get clear on that. Got it? Okay, Simone, so I appreciate you listening to all this. This is not easy, especially from, you know, the different cultures that we're in. So in North America, which is where I'm from, women do tend to be more upfront. And sometimes that's difficult for men. But at the same time, there are ways in which you can say it clearly, but also subtly. So that's just my style. I like to be very forthright and clear. Wasn't like that in my 20s, but I wasted a heck of a lot of time in my 20s and a lot of heartache that I didn't really need to go through had I been willing to really share where I was and how I really felt. Okay, so blessings to you, and I hope things work out and your heart heals. Okay, so let's see who we have next here. Okay, a guy. Cool. Lucas. Okay. Lucas says, hi. Well, not so strangely, I have already found my dream partner through the law of attraction. I've also been told by two different psychics that she and I have been together in another life. I feel a synchronicity with her in the most amazing way, and it's mutual. So this is the problem. She is in a dead-end relationship with a guy without much future, and she feels stuck. I don't want to be or feel the one responsible for their breakup. With that being said, I will let the universe unfold. How can I better go about my day and keep patience knowing that I will be with her eventually? Thank you very much for any input. Well, Lucas, you know, you almost answered your own question. I really congratulate you for the stance that you have in this relationship. You said that, with that being said, I will let the universe unfold. And that's exactly what needs to happen here. I wouldn't worry necessarily about being the one responsible for a breakup because, well, first of all, let's back up a little bit. There is a myth in our society, and I think this is worldwide, but I could be wrong, but there's a myth in our society that a breakup, okay, a dissolution of a relationship, a divorce, whatever you want to call it, that a breakup is bad. Okay, do you not feel that? Do you not have that belief that divorce is bad, that breakup is bad? Well, let me question you. Who said that? Where did you learn that? Society, right? Your parents, right? Well, that's where I learned it. So the belief that breaking up a relationship or that a relationship that you have or someone else has that breaks up is a bad thing is a belief that doesn't serve you, doesn't serve her either. Not that you necessarily have any power to change her belief, but you can at least change yours. So think of it this way. I'm going to be devil's advocate here. Instead of believing that a breakup is bad, why not entertain the notion that a breakup is a gift? So think about that. Feel that in your body. A breakup or a divorce is a gift. Boy, that feels really different, doesn't it? Between, you know, divorce and breakup is bad versus breakup is a gift. So if you have a different mindset about your role in this relationship, you could be the one that hands her the motivation to get unstuck. Then it would be a gift. She would then be motivated to be responsible for her own happiness and to do whatever it takes to get it. Maybe if you weren't there, she would be stuck in the unhappiness for decades to come. And that's, you know, it really rings of what I went through in my first marriage. I was taught, you know, Catholic and then Chinese Catholic to boot. So what that means is both cultures, the Catholic culture and the Chinese culture, very much frowned upon divorce. I mean, it was like worse than death, I swear. And I had the attitude that I was going to stick to my husband no matter what. That once I made that commitment, it was till death do us part. And you know what? I got to the point where I thought I was either going to die or that I was going to have to change my belief system. And thanks to teachers that were the universe placed in my way to learn from at the right time, I didn't die. But there was a point where I was almost willing to die for my beliefs. And luckily, I chose a different path. I chose to do what seemingly was more difficult than dying, which was to believe that divorce and breakup was going to be a gift and a good thing. Now, was it easy? No, it wasn't easy. Was my husband hurt? Yes, he was hurt. But we're also in a mature enough relationship that he could understand and forgive whatever it was that I did that he felt hurt. And because there's still love between us, it just wasn't going to be the love that was going to carry us through another 10 or 15 years of marriage. And we've been together 16 years. So it really changed how I felt about divorce. And so I'd encourage you to let go of the thought and the belief that divorce or a breakup is necessarily bad and that you are a bad person because you're an instrument or a motivation for this woman to get unstuck. So that's the work that you need to do on your end. Is to change your belief system. Why? Because it doesn't serve you to believe that the breakup is bad. The breakup is holy. The breakup is divine. Think about that. You know, nothing is true. Nothing is meaning until we give it meaning. There is nothing inherently true in our world unless you think it's true. So that's the power of beliefs. Beliefs are just thoughts that we say to ourselves over and over and over again, and we think that it's true. But you can believe something else that benefits you, that serves you and serves her. So that's the work you need to do on your end. So instead of feeling bad about being responsible for their breakup, you can feel good about it. You can feel good about being the motivation, you know, because she's not happy. And whether you're there, whether you're not there, she's probably still not happy. So that's the work you need to do. And as far as letting things be, all you need to do is just keep supporting her. You know, don't pressure her into, you know, what action have you took? What are you going to do? You know, why haven't you broken up with him yet? You know, that kind of thing. You want the opposite. You want almost to have the energy of saying, you know what? You will figure it out. You know, you will figure out what best serves you. And I'm here to support you emotionally. You know, you're the one I want. You are my soulmate. And I'm willing to wait. You know? And at the same time, I'm not feeling good about a clandestine relationship and your husband or your boyfriend not knowing about it. So I'd encourage you to take the next step. So it's one of those things. It's a fine line between, you know, sitting back and then just being stepped all over, you know, and also encouraging the other person to take some action. And if she says, I'm a bad person, I don't want to hurt him, you know, then, you know, you can, you know, support her emotionally. And even better, maybe you guys can go to some resources that will help you in the breakup. I've often thought I'd need to write a book on this kind of stuff, but one of the teachers that I met at a conference recently, she has a great website. It's mindfuldivorce.com. So even though she may not be divorced, okay, you can just see it in the same way. So mindfuldivorce.com. So there, I'm sure, are very good resources there. She's a wonderful, wonderful spiritual teacher. Great resources there so that she can feel better about moving on. And if she doesn't want to read it, you read it. You know, you get the learning, so you can feel good about it. Does that make sense? Okay, so your job is just to emotionally support and just believe that she can do it, and maybe encourage her to get some counseling. You can get some counseling as well. Go to mindfuldivorce.com, learn more about this. Another wonderful book, I absolutely love this book. I'm just trying to think of the title. It's by Jalaha Bonheim. Oh, my goodness. It's slipping. You know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to find that book, and I'm going to attach it to the recording of this. So when I find it, I will attach it to this recording. So when you come back to this page and click on it, you'll see the picture of that book. So I'm so sorry. I can't remember that. It's one of my favorite books, so I can't remember the title of that book. Anyway, it's a beautiful purple book. I'll find it and I'll put it on the page after we're done here. Okay. So Lucas, I think you're doing great. I think congratulations for finding your dream partner and using the law of attraction successfully. And I think the place you're in is a place of acceptance and knowing that you're going to be together at some point. And then I'm just validating what you already know, which is there's a certain degree of patience and timing that's required, and you need to give her space to allow her to find her way, to allow her to grow into that powerful person she can be so that she can take those action steps. You don't need to rescue her on that. You don't need to do it for her. She needs to do it and feel good about it, feel empowered. So all you can do is emotionally support her, get counseling yourself, get rid of belief systems that aren't serving either of you, work on yourself, continue your personal growth, and it will happen for you if this is meant to be. So you're on the right track. You're doing a great, great, great job, Lucas. So congratulations. And let us know. Let us know what happens. Well, we know what's going to happen, but let us know anyway. Okay, Lucas, thank you so much for your letter. All right, so let's have, okay, we have another letter from Heba. Okay, so Heba says, hi, I like my oculist. Now, I think in North America we call him your eye doctor, maybe, or optometrist. Okay. So, hi, I like my optometrist, and I see him as the perfect partner for me. I saw him 4 times, and I got all his personal data from Facebook. Yeah, Facebook's dangerous. Okay, so got all his personal data from Facebook. I wish so much to have a personal relationship and then marry him. I've applied the law of attraction to everything in my life, work, money, things, and it works very well for me. It's like magic. Hey, that's awesome, Heather. Okay, but she says, but with this person, it's not that strong. So please tell me, how can I attract them and start a personal relationship? Thanks a lot. Well, Heather, the important thing with the law of attraction is you probably already know that like vibrations attract each other. So like vibrations, the other word for vibrations is frequency. So like frequencies attract each other. A reason that he could not be pursuing you or that it's not working as well is because he's in a different frequency. So you're attracted to him, but he may not be attracted to you or not be in the space to be in a relationship. And therefore, your frequencies are crossing. You know, they're not really matching. And so this can be very frustrating for people. I get this all the time, people questioning, you know, I'm really attracted to someone, I think the perfect partner, but they don't know I exist, you know. So again, be probably the topic of our month's health seminar later this month. So Heather, you know, there's a couple of ways you can approach this. Now, the old-fashioned way, and maybe I shouldn't call it old-fashioned because that's judgmental, but the old way of doing things is to be kind of sneaky, try to figure out, you know, on Facebook or, you know, whether or not he's in a relationship or whether he is or, you know, that kind of thing. I'm assuming that you've already friended him, right? Now, get this. This is something you can do. If you have not friended him on Facebook, you do that. If he ignores your friend request, okay, if he ignores your friend request, and then that's it. End of story. Do not pursue him. Go to the next guy, okay, even though I'm sure you're in resistance on hearing that. But what it means is that he doesn't want a connection with you. Now, if he does accept a connection with you on Facebook, okay, now you have an in. Doesn't mean he's in love with you. Doesn't mean he's going to be a perfect partner. But it means there's a possibility of creating a relationship with him. Not necessarily a romantic one, but a relationship with him. So then you can start creating a relationship with him. You know, just Facebooking him occasionally, not crazy like, you know, not like every 5 minutes, because then you're going to be like a stalker, and then he's going to like run away. So you need to be, you know, genuine and authentic, but not crazy, you know, stalking him. So you can just see how that goes. So that's the old-fashioned way of kind of doing it, kind of behind the scenes, kind of feeling things out, using some hints, you know, and often when we're blinded with love or lust, we cannot see the hints. But I'm telling you, if you friend him, he doesn't friend you back, that's a big hint, okay? So move on. If he does friend you, see if you can develop a relationship, and it may very well mean, you know, if you find out he's single, you may want to connect with the next step. And so this is out of old-fashioned realm into the new age, at least in North America and Europe, the new age is that women have equal opportunity here. So it may mean you asking out. And you'd be like, oh, I can't do that. Well, you don't have to. You don't have to. Like I said before on the show, I'm just a fan of not wasting time. You know, time's precious. So for me, it's sort of like they're not interested, and I get a rejection. I don't take it personally, you know. So it has nothing to do with how bad or good a person I am or how attractive or non-attractive I am. So I want you to feel the same way. Regardless of his response, you are attractive, you are lovable. If you believe that, okay, I want you to believe that, then you'll be able to attract the partner of your dreams. But it does start from you. It starts from within. So if you get a rejection, then you move on. And if you get a, oh, okay, where do you want to go? Go out. Okay, fine. You know, then you're like, whoa, okay. So you can move on and go from there. So I'm not, like I said, not a big fan of wasting time. I would just go ahead and ask him and see how it feels. You know, gee, you know, I feel really connected to you. I feel attracted to you and just wondering whether you're open right now to date. And he might say yes, he might say no. And then if he says yes, great. And if he says no, then don't take it personally and move on. So that's my advice to you. Okay? All right. So we're ending the show. We only have a minute left. I want to thank everybody for listening. If you're on the online here, at Blog Talk Radio. Appreciate it if you vote my show as a favorite. Really, really appreciate that. And next show will be in about 2 weeks' time. If you have questions to ask me, please send them to Ask Dr. Karen on my webpage, www.lawofattractioninlove.com. So www.lawofattractioninlove.com. You can still, if you haven't gotten a copy of my ebook, Creating Your Fairy Tale Love Life, it is available with over $300 in bonuses right now, but it is a limited time only. So if you want to manifest your dream partner, and I'd love for you to do that because we have some wonderful, wonderful results and testimonials from my clients and from all over the world. So I really want for you what I have because it truly, truly is a magical life. So I love you all. Blessings. And until next time, Dr. Karen signing out. Bye for now.